Good morning, church. I love the hustle and bustle and the murmuring of God's people. So, I've shown this before, and I wasn't going to show it this year, but by popular demand, kids, Christmas according to kids, one more time. So go ahead, Lee.
An angel came to see Mary. She was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared, and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're going to have, what? Good. Mary, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby. You will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not going to have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager. I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem. Ham, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel.
She said, this donkey's fast.
Well, they tried to go to a hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place and here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel was singing.
And then the shepherd said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
Well, we should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one that I have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold, ring, and Latimer.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly.
Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
Not only will that baby change the world, he has changed the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for children. We thank you for that they see you. We see them through their eyes, God. Would you lift up yourself in this place? Would you come and stir us? Would you change us this morning? Would you surprise us with your presence? Send your Holy Spirit in this place. May the name of Jesus be high and lifted up. And it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. You'll rise if you're able as we worship. Welcome to our live stream worshipers as well.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. Save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Hear the Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of
This morning we want to prepare our hearts for the Lord to meet us in this place this morning. You may be seated, and we are going to continue worship with our next in the Advent series.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" After they had heard the king, they were on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over a place where the child was.
When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh.
Today we light the third candle of Advent, the candle of joy.
With this candle, we remember and celebrate that the only lasting joy to be found in life is through Christ our Lord.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Savior Jesus Christ, a round of applause this morning. All right, everybody, stay where you are, and you may be seated. I messed that up in the first service, by the way, is why everybody's laughing at me.
This time of year, I have the privilege of saying thank you and delivering a gift that you all made to our staff. Let's give our staff a round of applause. Playing the role of Vanna today is my daughter Jessica. So please, as I call your name, stop by and see her, please. If I could have Arliss Wright, please come out of the booth and come on up front. Billy Krim, our adult life pastor, please come on up, sir. Brent Aiken, our youth pastor. Carlene Krim, our children's pastor. Cody Bretherton, our worship and student pastor. Jamie Adams, our Mother's Day Out director. Kevin Crowder, our buildings and grounds guru. Larry and Brenda Harner, who look after all of our meals. Linda Higginbotham, our assistant children's pastor. Naomi Wood, our finance expert extraordinaire. Shauna Johnson, our assistant youth pastor. Terry Wright, our administrative assistant. Teresa Sauve, our assistant children's pastor and finance. And I got to take a step back. This one's big. Pastor Jeff Hatcher, please come to the front. I know I am grateful for this team of servants. And if they've touched your life in any way, shape, or form, please let them know right now. If you join me in a word of prayer. Father God, as we gather together to thank you for the gift of your son, Lord, I pray that we would remember the gift of your servants that you have placed here in this church. I pray you continue to multiply the work of their hands, that your name would be high and lifted up, and that the good news could be proclaimed to all the world. Father, it is in your name we pray. Amen. I had one job. I even made a note. For the children, please come forward for the children's message.
Sunday mornings. It's so enjoyable. Oh, well, this month has just been busy, mostly preparing for one day this month. What's the one day?
Christmas!
We're doing so many things to prepare for Christmas. I got to thinking about all the things we do to prepare for Christmas. I thought about the fact that we decorate, right? Who's decorated their tree and their house inside, outside, upside, downside? We have decorated, right? Oh, yes. Okay, good, good. Who has been baking for Christmas? Yeah, some Christmas cookies. We prepare for Christmas with baking and eating the cookies. Mm-hmm. And wrapping presents. Yeah, have presents been wrapped in your house? Yeah. We do all of this to, yes, so we do all this to prepare for Christmas, but there's one more thing we have to do to prepare for Christmas. One more big thing. We have to prepare our hearts for Christmas. Just like we take time out to plan to decorate, and we have to plan to make cookies and do presents, we need to plan time to prepare our hearts for Christmas. What are some ways that we can prepare our hearts? Can you think of any way?
Pray,
yes. Praying is a great way to prepare your heart. Talk to God. Tell him your fears and your concerns and praise him for what you've had that day, what's gone right in your life. Are there any other thoughts on how to prepare your heart? I was thinking that maybe during dinner time, you could tell each other, parents too, where you saw Jesus that day, where Jesus was in your life.
Mommy,
you could say,
I see the baby.
You could say things like, I saw baby Jesus at church. That's where I saw Jesus today. You could say, I saw Jesus when the sun rose this morning. I saw how bright and beautiful it was, and I thought how glad I was I didn't have to go through my day in the dark. And you can just tell each other where you saw Jesus that day. Maybe you could do some little journaling, get a notebook or paper out and color a picture or write some words telling where you saw Jesus. Maybe there was a time during the day that you were not happy with your brother or sister, and you felt like hitting them. You felt it, but then you didn't. That would be a great Jesus moment. Write about that, color that. That's like, hey, Jesus stopped me from hitting my sister, and do you know what she did, God? Tell him all about it. He'd love to hear it. And I thought of one more. I thought you could just walk and talk with God. So maybe go on to the backyard and just do some walking. And while you're walking, just talk with him. That day, say, hey, God, I love you. You are wonderful today. I saw you today when I looked at the birds, and all of a sudden I could notice the birds can fly, and I can't fly, but you let them fly. You made it so they could fly. How neat is that, God? You are just so powerful, God. I trust you. And if you're sad about something, take that to God, too. He cares. Say, God, I'm really sad about it, and tell him about it. And all these ways prepare our heart for Christmas. So today, I thought one way we would prepare our hearts is to read a little bit out of the Bible from John. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. And while I'm reading, I want you to think about what a wonder and miracle it is that God became human. All right, so there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. Who's the light in this verse? Who? Go ahead, everyone can yell it. Who?
God.
Jesus. Jesus is the light. Jesus is always the light. So every time I use the word light, know that John is talking about Jesus. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Who is coming into the world to enlighten us?
Jesus.
That's right. Okay. Next. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his, and his own people did not accept him. Well, this is kind of sad. His own people didn't accept him. Who are we talking about here? Whose people didn't accept him? Jesus. That's right. Okay, let's keep reading, though. That was kind of a sad one. But, oh, I'm glad there's a but there. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of his blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. So this is joyful news. Who do we have to believe in order to become children of God? Everyone. Who do we have to believe in?
Jesus.
Good job. Okay. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, and the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Who lived among us? Whose glory have we seen? Everyone, once again,
Jesus.
That is wonderful. That is just a wow, amazing, wonderful thing. And a great way to prepare our hearts for Christmas. Let's bow our heads. Holy Heavenly Father, thank you for the greatest gift, Jesus. Please help us to prepare for him in our hearts and minds. Remind us to focus on the most important things at Christmas, and always thank you for your love. In Jesus' most holy name, amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I want to thank you for your generosity and your love for us. And I told the early service that y'all are an easy church to love. Well, except for a couple of people. And I'm not going to mention Ray Mason's name, but anyway, I'm going to. Hey, I love you, by the way. I love Ray Mason. Thank you so much for your love for us. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into this service, excuse me, through the app. And if you don't want to download our app or you don't need another app on your smartphone, you can always scan the QR code on the back of the chair in front of you, excuse me, and that'll bring the web version of the app up. And you can do anything except for checking in through that option. That's always another option. Our church office is closed until January the 2nd, so our Monday noon prayer time will be suspended until the 8th of January, so we can go ahead and pray at our homes or in our vehicles, wherever we're at during the noon hour. Next Sunday morning, we will have only one worship service at 10:45, no early service, no Sunday school, and that schedule will be repeated on the 31st. No early service, no Sunday school, just one 10:45 service. And then, of course, our Christmas Eve service is at 5:30 next Sunday. That's always a great time to come and celebrate together. Let's go ahead and stand and affirm our faith with one another. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Yeah, I was thinking about that night that Jesus was born. In the first century, the nation of Israel were an oppressed people. They were oppressed by the religious system. They were oppressed by the Roman government. And I read an article that they believed that in that day, every 9 out of 10 people were living at the poverty level or below compared to today's poverty level. So I don't know if they had a lot of hope. I don't know if they had a lot of joy. I think probably not. I mean, what's our future like? We're under this the tyranny of the Roman government, even though they seem to coexist okay. And then a king is born. Someone that could bring them hope. I love this prophecy out of Jeremiah 23. The days are coming, declares the Lord, and I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king, who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. So a king was born and they were oblivious to the fact that they had a king. I was thinking about our day. I know that there are people who are just feeling the heaviness of our culture, that seem to be oppressed by our culture. Maybe the government's disappointed them, and maybe they feel like they're oppressed by the government. Obviously, the enemy is oppressive himself, and there's a king available for people today. There is hope because Jesus is alive. And so what I want to do this morning, I want to pray for a supernatural revelation of how good God is. I said this in the early service, I don't know if this will help, but why not ask for this? Why not just ask God just to reveal himself to our culture in a supernatural way so people will know that they can have hope? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for a perfect Savior, an obedient Savior. We thank you that he is at your right hand right now making intercession for us. And we can be saved eternally because he is in that position. Father, I thank you for this time of year when we reflect on his birth, and Lord, it's a really a good season, but at the same time, it's a difficult season. And maybe there's a good majority of our culture that for just a short time, they don't embrace Jesus as Savior, but there's just joy during this time. And maybe they get a small period of respite from the oppression that they experience the rest of the year. So, Lord, I just ask in the strong name of Jesus that you supernaturally reveal your goodness to our culture. Lord, I just pray for people that are in a department store and they hear this Christmas carol that they've heard, and I just pray that something is intriguing about that they're drawn to the words. Father, I just think about a revival. I don't remember the time period, but the strong revival in Ireland, and people would cross into the Irish nation, go across the border, and they would begin weeping because your presence was strong there. So, Lord, we ask for a supernatural visitation of your glory, a supernatural visitation of your goodness on our culture. Let people know that they can have hope because Jesus is our King. Jesus is alive. God, do that for your glory. And Father, I just pray that we take the joy of this season into the new year ourselves. And Father, that we're changed because of who you are. Reveal yourself to us fresh and anew this morning. And Lord, if there are people online, if there are people in here in this building that are struggling, Lord, I just pray that you touch them deeply. Holy Spirit, just overwhelm them with your presence. Let them know that they're not alone. Let them know that they're not forgotten. Oh, we praise you, Holy God, for who you are. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us, dying for us, giving us eternal life. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our comforter, our guide, and our friend. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I remind you of our giving options. You can give electronically. You can also give through our offering boxes by the doors. Again, church, thank you so much for your faithfulness. God bless you.
Oh,
Is the Holy Spirit welcome in this place? Is he welcome in this place? I want to welcome you again to our worship service. I want to echo what Billy said and thank you as our church for your love for the staff. A few things about that. One, first of all, just this is a special place. We're not any better or more loved by God or anything, but the people God has assembled here, I just believe God has assembled some really remarkable people, and I include our congregation in that. I was telling the early service, it amazes me, like we had Christmas workshop last week, and I don't know how many kids we had. I think it was 130 or so kids and oodles and gobs of servants to bless those children. And so that was a blessing to see all that. And then when it was over, many people stayed and said, where does this go? What can we do to clean up? And I mean, it's just amazing things. We haven't had an angry meeting in my 21 years here, which, George, that's unique, huh? Some of you retired pastors, Larry. So I mean, that's amazing. But I just want to say, the things that make it special. Number one is that the Holy Spirit's in control. Holy Spirit's in control, and we. None of us, the staff, none of us are the changer of hearts. Only God is the changer of hearts. So all the blessings that we have pour out from him. So I just want to thank you for being such a great church and what a wonderful staff God has assembled. I'm very appreciative of each one of them and what they do. So if you are our guest this morning, I hope you feel that about this place. I hope you feel that this is a special place because of the love that's here. Not because we're special, but because of the love that we share. If you are here, I hope you also feel the Holy Spirit in this place and the love of his people. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guest registration with a blue stripe. I would love for you to fill that out. Some of you who've been here for like 20 years might want to fill that out too, because I still don't know, maybe all the information. I don't know. That snuck up on me, Billy. I wasn't planning on saying that. At the end of the service, I'll be out here and would love to meet you as our guest. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. I want to stop a second. So I was telling the early service that even Augustus, Caesar Augustus, was a pawn in the prophets that had foretold the coming of the Messiah. Because had he not issued this decree for a census, then Mary and Joseph would have been in Nazareth. But the prophecy said that the Messiah would be born in where? Bethlehem. So it's this decree from Caesar that took him to Bethlehem to fulfill the prophecy. Love it. Did y'all know God's a big God? Did you know that? He can work through anybody. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and wrapped him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields there nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And stop there a second. That Christ is not a name. Christ is a title. Christ the Lord. Christ meaning Messiah, anointed one. So this son would be the Christ, the foretold one, the Messiah, the anointed one. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we have invited you. We know that you are with us because you promise where two or three are gathered in your name or more, that you will be there with us. So, Holy Spirit, would you speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. So today is week 3 in the Advent series that we're going through, God with us. The first week, the first Sunday was that God had promised this Messiah. God had promised. And then last week was the prophets foretold the details of this Messiah that was coming. And today's message is the angels proclaimed it, that he was here. So as I told the early service, this is a very simple message today. Very simple, but very important and very profound. So hang loose and stay with me here. So we read this story in Luke chapter 2. We read this story of the shepherds and how the angels came and proclaimed Jesus. So what exactly did the angels do? So let's start there. The angels, first of all, proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. Good news. They said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." This good news is that Jesus, the Messiah, is born. He's here. This one that God had promised, this one that the prophets had foretold, he's here. Go and see. And he will be, this is the good news of great joy, and he will be for all people today in the town of David. A Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. So the angels came with a simple message. Hey, I've got good news. The Savior's here. The Messiah's here. Go and see. And so what else did the angels do? They proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. And secondly, the angels praised his holy name. I just believe that those two are connected. The good news of Jesus Christ should spontaneously come out of us. Praise should come out of us when we hear the good news. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." The angels had good news. The Messiah that's been promised and foretold is here. And then they praised the Lord. I love this passage. I just believe that when we encounter the Lord, that praise should, and I believe does, when we really encounter him, ooze out of us. I believe in, I love this Isaiah chapter 6. I'll read the first three verses here. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah is saying, "I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple." So Isaiah was in the presence of the Lord. And with him were seraphs, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." There's this, It's when we're in the presence of the Lord, praise follows. Also, that's another sermon, but also Isaiah followed with conviction. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live in a place of unclean lips. And so he's convicted and he's praising the Lord. So the angels is a simple thing. They came with a simple message, the good news of Jesus Christ, and followed that with praising him. Well, so how did the shepherds respond to that? The shepherds proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. They went and they encountered this. The angel said, the Messiah's here. He's been born. You'll find him in Bethlehem, wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. And as soon as the angels leave, the shepherd said, hey, let's go check that out. That's the Jeff Hatcher version. Hey, let's go see. Let's go see what they're telling us, if it's real. So they go and they encounter this Messiah. Luke chapter 2, verse 15, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Even though the angels proclaimed it, they recognized the message was from the Lord. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, here it is, they spread the word. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said. So the angels come and they have this message. I bring you good news of great joy. The Messiah is here. It's for all people. He will save us from our sins. That's the good news. And let's have a party. Let's praise Jesus. The shepherds, they immediately go and encounter this Savior that the angels had told them about. And the first thing they do after they see him, they said, hey, we need to go spread the word. What the angel said, we just encountered him. Let's go spread the word. And then they praised Jesus. Number four, the shepherds praised his holy name, just like the angels. They come, can you imagine? They come and they see this child that the angels had proclaimed, and then they had promised to find him, and they found him, and they says the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as had been told. Well, so again, simple message. The angels had good news. Messiah's here. Let's praise him. The shepherds, at that announcement, they shared the good news. Hey, the angels were right. The Messiah's here. Let's praise him. I wonder what yours and my response should be. What do y'all think? Perhaps we should share the good news. I mean, if we encounter Jesus, we may not be there right there and seeing him in a manger, but if we've encountered Jesus, perhaps we're supposed to spread the word. And so many times, and I've said this, that we, as Christians, we think that, hey, I've accepted Jesus. Look what I did. I got my ticket. I'm going to heaven. Got my ticket. I'm going to put it in my purse. Put it in my pocket. Put it in my wallet. And hang on to it. That's not the gospel. That's not the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ is to be shared. It's for us to go out to praise him. It's like he really is the Messiah. He really is the Savior. I need to go tell people. That's good news of great joy for all people. It's not just for Wiley Methodist. Although it just seems like the angels and the shepherds have set us an example. The good news of Jesus Christ is worth sharing, and he is worthy of our praise. It's a simple message, but we need to do it. The Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples. You know, and I'll tell you, one of the mistakes I see Christians and churches make all the time is we make God into this boogeyman that shakes, he wants to wag his finger at us and scold us and condemn us. No, Jesus said, I've come to so that you'd have life, not to condemn the world, to save the world. It's the kindness of the Lord that brings people to repentance. That's what Scripture tells us. And we need to stop making that message, the Christian message, about this God who's angry with us. He's angry at sin. Sin cost him the life of this son, this precious babe. I've shared this before, but I just felt compelled to share it again. This came on my radar just a few years ago. They're speaking of the shepherds. There is a hold off on the for just a second, Lee, on the slide. There is a tower. It's called Migdol Eder. Migdol Eder, and I may be pronouncing that wrong, but it's a Hebrew term meaning the tower of the flock. Now, go ahead and flip that up there. So what? This is an example of what that might have looked like. And so I'm going to back up just a second. The people of Israel, the Jewish people, were to sacrifice a male, innocent, without defect lamb for Passover. And there was one, and you were supposed to, one lamb for family, and some of the people that couldn't afford the lambs may have used other animals that were more affordable, but most of the families wanted to sacrifice a lamb per family. And it's estimated that there was around 250,000 Jewish families in the region of Jerusalem. Now, so these lambs, there were specially trained shepherds that were trained by temple priests on what to look for these lambs and how to care for them until they were to be sacrificed. And they were to watch over these Passover lambs. And they would have these towers, this Migdol Eder, the tower of the flock, and the upper stories, they would... Some of these shepherds would be out with the flock, and some would be in that upper tower watching over their flock, making sure that watching for predators and so forth. The bottom floor was the birthing room. Now, when these lambs that met the qualifications were born, they had to be a spotless, unblemished male lamb. That when they met these qualifications, guess what? These specially trained shepherds would wrap that lamb in cloth to protect them, because one scuff of a leg and they're no longer unblemished. So they would wrap these lambs in swaddling clothes, if you will. And they would put them, we see our most of the time when we have nativity plays, you know, it's a little wooden deal. But this is more probably likely of what the, where they would put them in the manger. So these lambs were born to die. That was their only purpose in life, these unblemished lambs. They were born to die as an offering for the sins of the people. So when the angels told the shepherd, and by the way, the lambs where the temple priests trained the shepherds, that had to be within about 5 miles or so of Jerusalem, of the temple. And guess where Bethlehem is? Right in that 5 to 6 mile range from the temple. And can you imagine when the angels told the shepherds? I don't think the shepherds were. The angels were speaking their language when they said, "You'll find the child wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." I believe they were speaking their language. John 1:29 that is. John the Baptist saw Jesus walking along the shore of the Jordan, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." God's perfect, unblemished lamb wrapped in swaddling clothes. Prophetic word, we talked about this some last week. Isaiah, 700 years plus before the Christ's birth, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers, he is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Man, I don't know about you, but that brings tears to my eyes when I think about God's perfect, unblemished lamb wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger as our Savior, born to die for us. I want to play this video for you. It's a powerful video. I cry every time I watch it. Go ahead, Lee, play that.
A shepherd in a field nearby to tend and to carry his flocks by night. They were not ordinary sheep, they were set apart, born to be passed over lands. And when a spotless male was born, he was held on the manger floor, swaddled up just to keep him calm until his time. And the shepherds sang, "Wrap this one up, he is a lamb without blemish. Wrap this one up, he'll make his way to the temple. The call of a mother in a town nearby to tend and to carry on this holy night. Not an ordinary child, but the Son of God, breathed by the Holy Spirit. And when the baby King was born, he was held on the manger floor. As she swaddled him up, she knew his time would come. As she said, life, for he knew that his time had come. Wrap this one up, he is the Lamb without blemish. Wrap this one up, he paid the price, and it is finished. But death would have no sting.
I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the 24 elders fell down before the lamb and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne. In a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praised and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for that Lamb, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. We thank you for the good news of joy that is for all people, that the Messiah has come, that you love us. You came because you love us. We rejoice in that. We praise you. Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. We rise as we sing this last worship song. If you don't know that Jesus that I'm talking about, please don't leave this place today without talking to me about that, because he knows you and he loves you.
Little Lord.
angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Church, that's good news. That's worth sharing and praising Him for. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.